If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews. We want to look in the 11th chapter. And when you found your place there, we want you to turn to another passage found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. We'll begin in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I want to read that very first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And we want to look in verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him. I want to preach on this thought today, God being our helper, a father who walked with God. Staying in the book of Genesis to start with, I want us to see, first of all, Enoch's times. Enoch's times. In other words, his days. Now, Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. His name means dedicated. And for the first 65 years of his life, he lived anything but dedicated. He was not dedicated to God to this point in his life. When Enoch was born, Adam would have been 622 years old. He's still right in the prime of life. He lived another 300 years or so before he died. So Enoch would have known Adam. And you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, you remember they walked with God. Could it have been that Enoch talked to his great, 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 great grandpa Adam about what it was like to walk with God? Now, if you look at the scriptures, the Bible says again in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. It did not say before, but after. So Enoch's times, these were dark days, desperate times in which Enoch grew up, in which he lived. You remember, he's just a few generations away from Noah. And the Bible says that God, when he saw this old world, was exceedingly sinful. And it caused God to bring a flood upon the entire world because of their sin. I would submit to you that generation after generation after generation, people were falling away from living for God. In fact, we see that same truth even to this day. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look with me in chapter 5 at verse number 5. At the end of that verse about Adam, the Bible said that he died. In verse 8, it says about Seth that he died. In verse 11, it says about Enos, he died. In verse 14, it says about Canaan, he died. It says in verse 17 about Mahalalel, he died. It says in verse 20 about Jared, he died. It's almost like you can hear the death bells tolling. Death is raining upon men. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's almost, this chapter 5 reads like a column of the obituary section in the newspaper. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. But you come to Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who lived in dark days and desperate times. But after he begot Methuselah, he began to walk with God. And we know that Enoch was not, for God took him. He didn't die. Oh, hallelujah. We may be living in a generation right now that the Lord may break open the eastern sky and rapture home the church. And right now, we're some fathers that are walking with God who will never see death. Amen. So we see Enoch's times. Second of all, I want you to see Enoch's transformation. We've read it already, that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. His conversion came after, right after that young man was born. Now, what was it that got his attention? First of all, I think it was the responsibility of parenting. Boy, there's nothing will sober your life up like having a child. Can you imagine Enoch holding that little baby boy in his arms, knowing the impact this old wicked world is going to have on him? And Enoch realized, I better be a good example to my son. I better make a godly influence on my boy's life so that my boy one day will go to heaven and that he might walk with God also. He understood the importance of his life to walk before his son serving God and the influence and the impact that he would have. There was a lawyer one time. He had a lot of pressure on him. He worked for the mob. And every morning when he got up, he would send the boy and his girl off to school, and he would head out the back door, and he would walk. He lived in Chicago in town. He would walk to the saloon and order him some drinks before he ever reported to his office or to court. He'd get liquored up. And one morning it snowed so greatly that they called school off in Chicago. He said bye to his family like normal, and he headed out the back door. And as he got close to the saloon, and they lived very close, he saw his son. He heard him scream first, "Look, Daddy, look, I'm following in your footsteps." The lawyer thought, "Oh, my Lord, that boy is following me to the saloon." I want to say something to you, dads. Your children will follow the example you set. That daddy got down on his hands and knees in that deep snow and began to try to erase all of his steps so his boy would not know where he had been, where he had just come from. You hear me? Only Jesus can erase our old sinful steps. Amen. From 1960 to 1990, the percentage of children that were living apart from their father was 17% in 1960, and by 1990, it was 36%. From 1990 to 2010, 50% of American children go to bed at night without being able to speak to their father, for he's not in the home. 50%. I want to say to you, dads, be careful, because your children will follow your example. There is a Spanish story about a father and son that were estranged for some reason. And the father began to get his heart right with God, and he went looking for his son, and he took out an ad in the paper. This is what it said in Madrid's paper. "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, Paco's father waited in front of that newspaper stand, and there were 800 Pacos that showed up because they thought their dad had forgiven them and was saying that he loved them. I want to say to you, dad, you make sure that you don't stir your children to strife. You make sure and live a godly life before them, because the influence that you have in their life is so critical. There was a pastor that went to the Sunday school class where the kids were being taught, and he said to the teacher, "Can I ask a few questions?" And the teacher said, "Certainly, go right ahead." And so the pastor asked, he said, "Why do you love God?" And one by one they began to give their answers. But the best answer he got from one little girl. She said, "Preacher, I don't really know why I love God. I guess it just runs in my family." Amen. We need some fathers that love God and will cause their children to turn to God themselves. I believe that Enoch had a great transformation because he realized the responsibility of parenting. But second of all, I believe he had a revelation of prophecy. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Enoch came by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now in Enoch's day there wasn't a written copy of the word of God like we have now, but I believe God spoke to Enoch. In fact, I believe God told Enoch what to name his son. But in the Old Testament days, names really meant something. He chose the name, God told him, Methuselah. What a name. How'd you like to have the name Methuselah? Do you know what it means? When he dies, it shall come. What shall come? The judgment of God will come when this boy dies. How would you like to say, hello, fellas? My name's Methuselah. That means when I die, it'll come. You'll be praying for me to live a long time. In fact, Methuselah, he's the oldest human that ever lived. Lived to the ripest old age of 969 years. He's the oldest. You know why? Because through Methuselah, God wanted to extend his long-suffering, his mercy, and his grace. And every time they saw Methuselah, it was a shining example. We better get right with God because God is coming again. Can you imagine every time when Enoch held Methuselah, every time Methuselah went, ha-choo, Enoch said, oh Lord, it might be now. Every time the wife said, he's got a fever of 102. We better get ready. He might be coming now. Methuselah fell in the yard and he's cut his leg. Oh Lord, we better get ready because it might be now. Because when he dies, it shall come. Let me warn you, Jesus could come any minute. I want to do a little arithmetic. Will y'all help me? The book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Look with me here. And verse number 25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. So he's 187 years old when he had his son. Now I want you to look here in verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. So, when Methuselah's son was born, he was 187. When his grandson was born, was another 182 years. That's 369 years old he was when his grandson was born. Flip over now, we're talking about Noah. Genesis 7, verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. In Noah's 600th year. So if Methuselah was 369 years old when Noah was born, and Noah was in his 600th year when the flood came, Methuselah would have been 969. Look back at chapter 5 and verse 27. Now we're just doing arithmetic, and I know some of y'all hate it. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. I believe that Methuselah died before the flood. In fact, I believe the day Methuselah died, the next day, it started raining. God said, I'm going to close the boat. Better get on board. Hey, the whole time, Methuselah was, listen, right there at the end, Noah was on board the boat preaching, telling people they better get on board the boat. Methuselah's name means, when I die, it shall be sent. I'm getting old. I'm 968, almost 969. You boys better get ready. I ain't going to live here forever. Hey, man. Enoch had received the message that judgment was a-coming. And I'm telling you what, he got ready. Listen to this. He also thoroughly regarded God's precepts. Don't turn here, but listen what Enoch prophesied. Jude 1:14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch was preaching that the Lord was coming. Hey, young'uns, Jesus is coming again. Are you ready to meet him? That's Enoch's transformation. I want you to see, thirdly, Enoch's testimony. Now, we read in your hearing in the book of Hebrews that he had this testimony in verse number 5, that he pleased God. And that makes me think that he, as a father before Methuselah, if he pleased God, in other words, he had a testimony that he had a life of faith. Look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Oh, I like that, don't you? He pleased God in that he believed God. He lived a life of faith. For 65 years he was lost. When the boy was born, he turned to God. He was converted. For the next 300 years, he lived for God. Hallelujah. Turn over just a couple more chapters to chapter 13. What can you and I do? Well, we can live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Look with me in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. What's this? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He lived a life of faith that was pleasing to God. That was his testimony, that he pleased God. Can it be said about you today that you are pleasing to God? Or are you pleasing to the devil? Are you pleasing to the world? Or are you pleasing to God? I want us to go back now to Genesis chapter 5. I want you to see he also had a life of fellowship. Look at verse 22. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Two times the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. It did not say that God walked with Enoch. It said Enoch walked with God. As Enoch walks with God, he's going God's way. He's going God's direction. You see, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We're just walking, fellowshipping. And if you're going to walk together, it means to go progressively forward. It's not to lag behind or to turn around and go the other way, but it's to walk together. Now just watch this. You go whichever way the Lord's going, that's the direction you're taking. If you're going to walk with God, it's a life of fellowship. Stay with me. You know that God goes to church on Sunday? Did you know that God goes to church on Sunday night? Some of y'all said he does. Did y'all know that God goes to church on Wednesday night? If God goes to church on Wednesday night and you say, I'm walking with God, what does that mean? You're going with him. You're not going to tell me you're walking with God and you never read your Bible. You're not going to tell me you're walking with God and you never take time to pray. You only pray when you're in trouble. You do not thank God for the blessings on your life. You do not thank God for the meal that he gives you. If you don't spend time in prayer, in time in praise, in time in thanks, you're not walking with God. You said you wanted to be a shining example to your children, that you wanted to walk with God, that you wanted to please God. And everywhere God went, you were going to be there. I'll tell you what, we as fathers must be challenged from the Word of God that we are not walking with God the way we say we are. We are not pleasing to God the way we pretend that we are. Amen. Micah 6:8 says this, what doth the Lord require of thee, O man, but to do justly, amen, and to walk humbly with thy God. He just wants us to walk with him. He wants us to fellowship with him. I want to say thirdly, not only is there a life of faith and a life of fellowship, but next of all, there's a life of fruitfulness. Look with me. The Bible says that after he begot Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. Some of us can't walk with God for a month. I mean, be faithful for a month. For 300 years, he walked with God. For 109,500 days, Enoch walked with God. And as he walked with God, He was steadfast. He was consistent. He handled stress. He handled adversity. Oh no, preacher, I believe in them days he didn't have no problems. Did you read the rest of the story? He begot sons and daughters. Some of you mom and daddies need to say, woo, glory. Preach, preacher. He had a family. He had adversity. He had hardships. He had issues. But he stayed true and faithful to God every step of the way. Last of all, and I'm done. I want you to see Enoch's translation, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Today we have astronauts, cosmonauts, judge me nots, of course nots. But thanks be unto God, Enoch was a was not. One of these days, you and I are going to be was nots too. I like that, don't you? That thrills my soul. Has Enoch walked with God? Can you see God as he says, Enoch? After 300 years, we're closer to my house than yours. Just come on with me. And he was not, for he took him. Hebrews chapter 11 says that he was translated. You know what it means to be translated? It means to be moved from one place to another. It is to be carried over. One of these days, God's going to catch me away. Woo! He's going to come, hallelujah, and take us from this old world in which we live, and he's going to remove us to the splendor of glory. What a translation, amen. What a blessing to know that you and I are going to be a bunch of was-nots. Look with me in Luke 17. Understand, Enoch was translated to heaven before the flood came. Enoch was translated before there was tribulation. Enoch is a type of the church. Before the Antichrist comes into power and the great tribulation falls upon this earth, the Lord Jesus is going to come and say, bride, come home. And we that are saved are going to lose our gravitational pull. And out of this world, we're going to soar as quick as we could blink our eyes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be present with the Lord in heaven. Three things will happen. First thing that's going to happen is you're going to look around and you're going to be amazed at who's not there. I was certain that preacher so-and-so was saved. Where are they at? I was certain that deacon so-and-so was saved. Where are they at? I was certain that so-and-so that got baptized, I was certain they were saved. There's going to be some people that said they was going that didn't make it because they told you a lie. You know what else? Going to be some other people that you didn't think was going to be there that is there. Man, how in the world did he get here? I mean, I would have thought he'd have never, you know, the old judgmental people, I thought he'd never made it. How in the world? I'll tell you how he made it. He made it by God's amazing grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to be amazed at who's not there. You're going to be amazed at who is there. And then you're going to look down and see your 2 feet. And you're going to say, thank God I'm there. I didn't deserve it. I was unprofitable. I was wretched. I was sinful. All I did was go to Jesus and call his name, and he forgave me and washed me. I believed on him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And look, youngins, I am here. When you see some of them people that never walked and see them running around, it's going to be something, amen. When you see people that was never able to open their mouth and speak their voice here, and now they're praising him. What a land. No more crippled children's homes. No more burned sinners. No more separation. No more divorce. No more death. No more sin. What a place called heaven. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 36, two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Preacher, why was one left and one got taken? Because one believed God. And like Enoch, they became a was not. And that crowd that would not believe, that crowd that said, my pride rejects it, I do not believe it, they're left behind. One time we had a man who was going to prepare our taxes. I told my wife, I said, take these to the tax man. Had the papers ready. He got over and said, well, your husband's a preacher. I have a few questions for him. He started talking to her, and she took the taxes back from him and came home to me and said, you're going to have to go talk to this man. I thought, Lord God. I got the taxes and went down there and see him. He said, you're a preacher. I said, yeah. He said, the Bible says, two will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. He said, which one will you be? He said, I want to be the one left. That's what he said. I said, well, good for you. I have good news. You will be. But we're going to be a bunch of was nots. We're going to be gone, gone, gone. Two more verses. I'm done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Hebrews 11, look with me, one last thing. Verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. I want to stop right there. There's our point. He was not found. Do you know they looked for him? Bible says he wasn't found. Methuselah said, Mama, have you seen Daddy? I don't know. He was out there at his old prayer altar calling on the Lord. You know, he says him and the Lord has communion out there. He said, Mama, I looked. He ain't there. I saw him go too. He ain't there. Well, surely if he's had a heart attack or something, his body would be laying somewhere. And he sent out an all points bulletin. We've got to find Enoch. And nobody could find him. You know why? Because God took him. And one of these days, when the believers are taken home, we won't be found because we're going to be with him in glory.